What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another edition of the Niner Noise podcast, part of the Fan-Sided Podcast Network. My name is Robert Morrison, a contributor at NinerNoise.com, and here with me, fellow contributor and all-around good guy, Akshaz Dovidula. Akshaz, how we doing, man?
We're doing good, Robert. We have changed up our recording schedule a little bit, so we're in uncharted territory right now, so I'm excited.
Very true.
This might be the best podcast episode or the worst one, and there is no in between.
That's very true. So, a little peek behind the curtain. Normally, we record late in the evening time. So, you know, you've probably figured that out because we're usually talking about like Monday Night Football or Thursday Night Football. So you can kind of guess at our general recording time. But had to move some things around. We're actually recording in the morning. During the day, I can see the sun and everything shining through the windows. It's amazing. I like that. I'm in favor, but you know, this is also harder to work out most of the time. So there you go. But there is a football game that we need to talk about that's coming up this weekend on Sunday night. The Niners have totally flipped things around. Last week they were the first game of the wild card weekend. Now they're the final game of the divisional rounds. That means everything else will be decided by the time the 49ers play at 6:30 Eastern time, 3:30 Pacific time. That's got to be like a real strange time to start for the West Coasters. Like, it's not like an early game, but it's not a night game, so it's middle of the afternoon, kind of strange, but perfect time for me. I enjoy it. The Sunday night 6:30 start time is great for me because it's usually those Sunday night, Monday night games are like on the edge of, you know, they get started at 8:15, 8:30, and by the time they're done, it's like, oh, okay, well, I don't know about this, but I'm definitely in favor of the 6:30 start time, even though they would never do it because it's such a horrible time for the rest of the country. But the East Coast bias says let's do it all the time.
Yeah, actually, one of my friends was talking a little bit about the time slot, and he said it's basically the Super Bowl time slot, which is a really interesting.
Oh, that's true.
Kind of, it's different, but you know, it kind of makes sense. This is, without a shadow of a doubt, the biggest draw I think the NFL could have, and it's going to be a good game too. It's not one of these teams is barely in and the other one is cruising along. This will be a fun one, and you know, I'm not old enough to have lived through the 49ers Cowboys 90s rivalries in like any way, but you can tell that there's some bad blood, and I'm excited because sometimes, you know, fans don't like each other. It seems like Shanahan understands the legacy of it all, and then you also factor in last year and that hilarious ending to the Dallas 49ers game. And You know, we could be brewing a new modern rivalry again.
Yeah. I unfortunately was alive for that. So it was the Cowboys in the early 90s, and then it was the Packers in the late 90s, two teams that the 49ers could not seem to dispense of. And then, of course, moved on to the Seahawks when they moved into the NFC West and all that stuff. But it's definitely one of those teams from that you just look at and you just go, I just don't get it. Like, there's nothing likable about them. They have unlikable ownership. They have just an unlikable overall persona. That's just me. I'm sure I've met some Cowboys fans that are not completely insufferable, but for the most part, there's a vibe, and I'm sure that there are fans of all sports teams that would give off that vibe. And if you put the wrong ones in the room, you'd be like, oh, all such and such fans are insufferable. But it's also a little bit of the job of each individual fandom to think that at least one other fan base that they root against all the time is more difficult than they might be. Actually, that does lead me to, I wrote something down that I wanted to talk about, but I was going to do it a little bit later, but I think it slides in nicely. So did you hear about this thing? Speaking of fan bases, and not being on the up and up. So there was a Dallas radio station, I don't know if you heard about this, that's basically, I was going to say they insinuated, but the guy pretty much just said straight up that they could use a Christian McCaffrey injury, that would be super helpful in their victory. Which has not really gone over particularly well with 49ers fans. I saw this morning, he was trying to back it off, walk it back a little bit. Oh, well, I wasn't saying that I hope he gets injured and yada, yada, just that, he has a injury history and just pointing that out. But like the words "we could use a McCaffrey injury" came out of his mouth. Not a good look in that particular case, just as a sort of starting point for the conversation.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a like ridiculous thing to say, because I saw like the clip, and I don't have the full like radio conversation context, but I have enough to like just like situate it a little bit. And it's just a weird like line of progression, because it starts out very normally. It's just like, oh, they got McCaffrey and now they're super good. And it's like, yeah, McCaffrey's finally healthy. He hasn't been able to stay healthy, but now he gets there and he's healthy, which is like true, but not true. McCaffrey's been like dealing with the nagging knee, ankle stuff, nothing serious. But from there, it's just, yeah, we could use him being out. And it's such an absurd, like, jump. I don't know. People say silly things sometimes when it comes to football.
This is true. It's certainly, like, one of those things, like, come on, dude. Like, at least admit, like, saying it is bad, trying to walk it back as if you didn't say the thing you said sort of made me go just like major eye roll. Like, we heard what you said. Everybody heard what you said. It's recorded. It's out there in the world. Like, just say, hey, that was stupid. I shouldn't have said it. Move on. Because, we all say silly, stupid things. And in the heat of moments when it comes to certain things, especially sports, it seems. But I just wanted to talk about that and point that out and just be like, hey, that was dumb. Anyway, so the 49ers hosting the Cowboys Sunday afternoon, evening, depending on where you are, as we already talked about. Dallas pretty much took care of Tom Brady and the Buccaneers in their wild card matchup. In Tampa, in what was particularly ugly game for Tom Brady. So now we're already with the season, with the off season not even begun yet. We're only like halfway through the playoffs, and we've already got two of the aging quarterbacks to talk about. Aaron Rodgers has been out since the regular season ended. Now Tom Brady is done. So of course now all the conversations about whether or not they're going to retire or whether or not they're going to move to other teams or whatnot can begin in full. We talked last week about how the conversation around Trey Lance for the offseason has already started. I don't know why we're skipping the rest of the playoffs and just starting in on the offseason stuff. We've got plenty of time to talk about it, and it's just very frustrating. But yeah, so it's going to be, as you said, an exciting matchup. And I think that one of the good things is that we've talked about this again over the last couple of weeks. The 49ers remain pretty healthy. It looks like Ambry Thomas is still going to be out this week with that ankle injury that's been bothering him for a long time. Then, of course, Jimmy Garoppolo is still out. But other than that, it looks like they still remain about as healthy as they can be. I know Javon Kinlaw and Samson Ebukam and Juwan Jennings have all been limited this week in practice. I get the impression that Kinlaw, that's just we got to be real careful with him because he's been helpful for this team and just, you know, don't want to get out there and wear him down. And then Ebukam and Jennings, just similar kind of thing. You know, they had little small injuries after the game on Sunday. So, you know, might as well, or on Saturday, sorry, you might as well let them take a break and not push it too hard at this point in the season. There's not a major benefit to that. I imagine most of the preparation is mental at this particular juncture. And so it seems like they're going to be good to play. Dallas is in pretty good shape for the most part, too. They have a couple of players so far. Again, I was recording this on Friday morning, so there's still another day of practice. And before we get the final sort of count for the injuries, but safety Jerron Curse has been limited this week with a knee injury. DeMarcus Lawrence, pass rusher, has been also limited with a foot. And then Jason Peters has not practiced yet this week as of right now. He's got a hip injury. That would be something to watch because, you know, Dallas has had a fairly solid offensive line. But if Peters isn't able to go, that would put them in an interesting predicament with the state of the 49ers defensive line. But by and large, I think it's good news that both teams are pretty healthy heading into this matchup because it means that there's not going to be any excuses like, oh, well, we lost such and such a player, and so you beat us because of X, Y, Z. So it's good, I think, on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you can always quibble about, like, oh, if this player had never gotten hurt way earlier, and I think fans always do some sort of rationalization, but this is going to be two teams basically at full strength going at each other, and that's super exciting to see. Beyond the, like, if we just take a step back in a way and, like, be okay, so we're all 49ers fans who are listening to this, I assume, but if you just think about it in terms of, like, an NFL game that's happening in the playoffs, this is what you want. I mean, beyond a shadow of a doubt, these are two of the top three teams in the NFC that are playing each other for the first time this season with a trip to the NFC Championship game on the line. Both have great defenses. Both have good offenses. It's everything. It's a dream matchup, and you're absolutely right. Having all the stars healthy and ready to play means, you know, you get a real good game, not some weird amalgamation of a team trying to compensate for someone they desperately need.
Yeah, absolutely. We got a pretty good one last year. I think there's an argument to be made that the final score of that game was a lot closer than it needed to be. And of course, the conversation this week has been largely on because they played last year. And you look at it and the conversation has really been, you know, who has been improved upon and who has not, which team has gotten better, which team has not, that sort of thing. So it'll be interesting to see where that conversation takes us throughout the rest of the week. But before we let's just dive into it and talk about the game in more specifics. So as always, we'll talk about reasons for optimism and reasons for concern as it relates to this game. So Akshaz, I'll start with you, your reason for optimism.
Yeah, so my reason for optimism is I'll put like one for each side of the ball. On the 49ers offense, there's a really interesting stat from Football Outsiders. It's their DVOA defense versus specific receivers. The Dallas Cowboys allow to have the highest DVOA allowed to number two receivers. I don't actually understand how that's explicitly calculated by Football Outsiders, so I can't tell you the causality of it. But what I can say is, as a descriptive tool, that's really, really good for the 49ers. Because the one thing we've kind of seen from this offense that makes it so elite is the fact that there's a multitude of weapons that attack you in many different ways. And something defenses have been unable to do beyond the Seahawks in the first game Brock Purdy played them, and that's because he basically had no ribs and could barely throw the ball, is attack them in different ways and really just take advantage of the fact that there's almost no defense in the NFL that can match up with McCaffrey, Ayuk, Kittle, Juszczyk, and Deebo Samuel all at one and take care of all of them. So this stat is really encouraging to me because there's a way, you know, the Dallas defense is talented and Trevon Diggs is an exceptional corner when it comes to the coverage side of things. In tackling, he's not so good, but there's a real concern in terms of like him being able to kind of take away some opportunities. Micah Parsons is a game wrecker. The Dallas defensive line is very, very good, but there's holes to exploit. And it's all about the 49ers taking advantage of those opportunities. And then on offense, I just say, and this is a little less like explicitly based in some statistic, but Dak Prescott's interceptions are going to be a big deal because the 49ers were second in the league, I want to say, with 20 interceptions. And that can be the game changer because we've reached the point, we talked about this in our last episode, there's almost a sense that the 49ers offense is the one that's going to be consistent and the defense is the one that just needs to, you know, show up and make plays. And if you get situations where you can keep Dallas's offense off the field, you can just run the clock, really establish the game and steal possessions. That completely changes the complexion of the game because the 49ers are at their best when they can run the ball, they can control time of possession, then their defense knows that you have to pass. They can gear back and attack.
Yeah, I think those are both good points. I saw that stat about the second wide receiver, and I'm also not sure how they calculate that, but I think the big takeaway there is if you have more than one person, more than one receiving option that's a high level, that they struggle with that. And it probably says something about their defensive personnel, that, you know, while Trevon Diggs is a top level corner in terms of the coverage skills, that maybe their other coverage guys are maybe not at the same level in terms of strength and that sort of thing. So, but as you note, the Niners are not just Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel, but they have all those other weapons too. And so, as is often the case, we talk about other defenses, opposing defenses' ability to sort of pick your poison. And it seems likely, and if you just look over the last couple of games, in terms of the members of the 49ers offense that have taken over at any particular time, and it's never one guy. You know, George Kittle had a good run towards the end of the season where he was scoring touchdowns. Deebo Samuel was gone for weeks and weeks and weeks, and then all of a sudden comes back last week and puts a hurting on the Seahawks. And so it's very much a matter of there are so many players on this offense for the 49ers that you just have to wonder that as good as Dallas's defense has been, can they do they have enough personnel, enough top level players to match up? And so that would also give me reason for optimism for sure. Right there with you with the interceptions too. The stat that I noted in that particular case, and this was one of my reasons for optimism, is that Dak Prescott has not gone back-to-back games without throwing an interception this year. I believe he was the league leader in interceptions, which is pretty impressive considering he missed several games in the middle of the season. So you got to wonder if the Niners can take advantage of the fact that he tends to be he has a high propensity for giving opposing teams the ball. The other thing that I noted is they played a Commanders team a couple of weeks ago with a lot of things potentially on the line, a game they needed to win to have even an outside chance at winning the division. And their offense just did not show up. Now, I think it's safe to say the Commanders' defense is one of the better in the NFL. So if you sort of make a comparison, I've seen this thrown around a little bit, the Commanders' defense is pretty good, and the 49ers' defense is quite good. And the last opportunity that they had to play a very high-level defense, because I think the Bucs are good in some areas and not so much in others, whereas I think the Commanders and the 49ers defense are both pretty stout across the board. And they didn't show up in a game that they needed to play and in a game that they needed to win in order to give themselves a shot at a division title. So that gives me hope for this, that the Dallas offense, which did not perform particularly well last year against the 49ers defense, which, by the way, was missing Nick Bosa for part of the game and Fred Warner for part of the game, and has also lost its secondary receiving option. Amari Cooper's no longer in Dallas. He's sitting on his couch somewhere. And so it's basically CeeDee Lamb and Dalton Schultz and the running game, which is quite good with Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard. But I think there's a case to be made they have gotten worse, while the Niners, if they're healthy, are a better team than they were last year. And so that also gives me reason for optimism for sure.
That's a really good point about the Commanders game, because the Cowboys, unlike the 49ers, did not waltz into the playoffs riding a super big high. You know, the division was in play, and they really struggled to get to that point. And I just think there's been a weird kind of recalibration, which almost always happens in the playoffs. Everyone overreacts to the last game of the Cowboys as this dominant Super Bowl contender with an elite offense and an elite defense, based off them like beating the brakes off an 8-9 Buccaneers team that really shouldn't have been in the playoffs. So in that sense, I think it'll be an interesting game, because both teams are very talented, but it's hard to say right now, and I don't think you can make the case that the Cowboys are heading into this game in any like better kind of like momentum shift or in a more like structured and cohesive way than the 49ers, because no team in the NFL is playing better than the 49ers are right now. They've been at this for, what is it now, 11 straight wins? That's a type of elite like play that is hard to match. So I totally agree. The Commanders game was very, very interesting, because the Commanders in many ways modeled the 49ers, not in like coaching style, but in like relative approach. Good defensive line that applies pressure, an offense that relies on the run game but has passing weapons. And they also started a rookie QB. So there's a lot of Cowboys fans are taking solace in the 49ers getting destroyed by the Chiefs as an example that when the 49ers play a quote unquote good team, they're not ready to show up. I think in this case, 49ers can take advantage of the fact that there's a team that was really able to do whatever they wanted to Dallas.
Yeah, and I'm definitely with you there. It's that was a fun time. that was what, four 3 months ago, basically, that Chiefs game, and they were coming off a letdown of a game against the Falcons the week before, and it was just sort of it was a bizarre time in the season. And not to say that Dallas is not not potentially capable of doing that. I don't think they're nearly at the level offensively that the Chiefs are, but it's something to watch out for. I think that leads us nicely into the reasons for concern. So I'll start with you, Akshaz, about what reason that you have for concern for this game.
So reason for concern one, and this is Dallas defense against 49ers offense, is basically Dallas's elite talent. I think Brock Purdy has done everything he's needed to do, and he's played quite well, and he's been quite aggressive. And I'm not discounting that, but, you know, he's also been a little inaccurate. He's been flushed out of the pocket and rolling to his left a lot. He kind of takes some aggressive decisions that aren't really warranted. And so far, they haven't come back to bite the 49ers. But I think you have in the Dallas defense one of, if not the best ball hawk, even Trayvon Diggs right now. And beyond all the other things that these players can or can't do, that's an element of a defense that the 49ers haven't really had to worry about, because Purdy has been elite at like avoiding turnovers, whether by luck or by his own sheer talent. But you get concerned that a player like that is going to be able to take advantage of a Purdy mistake and really flip the game. And then Micah Parsons. So Nick Bosa is the defensive player of the year. This goes without saying. But Micah Parsons was exceptional this year as well. And I think there's a real concern insofar as Brock Purdy has kind of is still under the process of like mastering the pocket, which is fair, but his propensity to try to like spill out of the pocket backwards, flushing out to the left or right, mostly to the left, works against some defenses that are frankly just not talented enough to chase after him, like Seattle's defense and their edge rushers. They were able to get some pressure, but they're not really as quick and like freakish as Micah Parsons. So Purdy was able to actually get to the corners. But Parsons will chase Purdy down more often than not. And those are the type of plays, those like 11, 12-yard sacks, those moments when a player is draped all over you as you throw the ball. Those can be a real concern. So I think Dallas's defense poses some interesting problems to the 49ers insofar as they might be the defense most attuned to taking advantage of Brock Purdy. Both them and Philadelphia, I think, will be really, really good tests if the 49ers can play Philadelphia next week and how Purdy handles the type of pressure. Then offensively, I just think the running game is going to be a really interesting battle. I don't know how much of a concern it is because the 49ers defense has been exceptional against the run, but there's been like a sense in which this exceptionality is equally caused by game situation. Namely, teams don't really run the ball on the 49ers in the second half because they can't, because they're down a lot and need to throw the ball. But Dallas has a really good running back in Tony Pollard, and then a formerly really good running back in Ezekiel Elliott, who can still like get you some hard-nosed yards up the middle. And if the 49ers defense kind of plays like it did against the Seahawks in some sense in the beginning of the game, and definitely in that second quarter when Seattle was able to get points in bunches, then Dallas can essentially take control of the game. So it's really all about kind of, it's in many ways the flip of why I'm optimistic for this game. It's just, can you avoid turnovers and can you take advantage of the defense enough to basically predicate the game on your terms? Yeah. And if the 49ers do that, they'll be fine. But, you know, Dallas is a good team. This will be a fun game. And it's not a guarantee that the Niners will be able to impose their will like they have for the past 11 games.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah. I'm pretty much right there with you. I think it's pretty safe to say this is the best team they've played since Kansas City, which is probably why Cowboy fans and pundits and that sort of thing are leaning into that game so much, because other teams that the Niners have played since then have either been hurt, you know, missing key players. Like, you think about the Chargers, who are probably up there in terms of talent with Dallas, but they were missing several players. They also have Brandon Staley as their head coach, which helps. Miami was probably at the end of where they might have been considered one of the top tier teams in the league, and they started their precipitous fall once that Niners game came. But I think it's fairly safe to say this Cowboys team is the best team they played since Kansas City. And so that's got to give you a little pause, because when you get to the playoffs, the margins become even thinner, right? The ability that you have to kind of get away with certain things can lessen, because the teams are better across the board. And so my reason for concern would be that, as you said, that excuse me, when teams are that close in terms of the fine margins, there's a chance that the game could tilt one way or the other, right? It's not necessarily going to be an opportunity for them to go out and just impose their will necessarily in the way that they did against Seattle in that second half, or against some of the other teams that they've played over this long win streak, where they have sometimes been able to just jump out and just take care of teams systematically from the jump. And consequently, I think that's going to be really important. As you noted, the game script is a real heavy factor on what Dallas is going to be able to do. So I think it's going to be really important that the Niners get off to a good start. They got off to a pretty decent start against Seattle, and I think that really made the difference, right? They were up 10-0 pretty early in the game. And while that didn't end up holding, like, they ended up losing that lead, and, you know, they were down at the half. I think there's a case to be made that if they were not off to that pretty decent start, that they would not have been in a position, even when the second half started, to kind of jump out and take the lead and then never let it go. And so I think it's really important that they do that again against this Dallas team, put them in a position where they have to throw the ball, put them in a position where they're one dimensional. And then there's a pretty good chance, if you do that, that Dak Prescott is going to put the ball in harm's way. And so, that's a weird way of talking about concern. But my concern turns into ways that the 49ers can overcome that concern. And the concern is just, it's the divisional round of the playoffs. There are only so few teams left. There's only four on each side. It's the 49ers against the NFC East. What are you going to do at this point? It's a good team staring across the way, and you got to make sure that you don't make mistakes.
For sure. And to that point of it being a good team, I think, you know, another thing we should talk about that we haven't really mentioned is Dak Prescott's probably the best quarterback the 49ers have faced in this stretch since Patrick Mahomes. Justin Herbert also. So, but Herbert's, like, weapons during that Chargers game were so like in disarray. It's hard to argue he was able to play to his full capabilities. But, you know, it's an important thing that, like, this is not us saying that the 49ers are not good enough to beat the Cowboys. Quite the opposite. I think both of us are fairly confident in the 49ers' abilities. But it's just worth noting that, like, for the next three games, unless you play the Giants, because I apologize, but I'm not a Daniel Jones believer per se. He's a good quarterback, but he's not an elite quarterback. You will play a very good to elite quarterback every step of the way. And those players cause unique stresses on your defenses. And that's a huge deal because the last elite quarterback the 49ers played had his way with the defense, essentially. So it's going to be – it's a real challenge. But, you know, there's also this understanding that the 49ers are, in terms of weighted DVOA and the eye test and basically any logic that takes a look at, like, wins – one of, if not the best teams in the NFL right now. They've played exceptionally well. They've taken care of business against any team they've played against. And they haven't shown us in this 11-game win streak that they're not able to take on the challenge. So this is, I mean, I'm saying this a lot. It's going to be a fun game because, you know, this is really going to be a battle. And it's going to be a chance for the 49ers to show their mettle and really demonstrate why they deserve to be in this playoff push and be considered a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, you got to just keep beating the teams that are in front of you. And as I said, they're going to keep getting better more than likely as you move along. Of course, there's always chances that you'll face a lesser team along the way. Like if the Giants beat Philadelphia and they have to come to Santa Clara for the NFC Championship game, I'll be feeling a lot better about that than if the Niners have to go to Philadelphia, right? If it's Jacksonville or to a lesser extent, the Bengals out of the AFC and the Niners get to the Super Bowl, I'm going to be feeling a lot better about that matchup than I will if it's Buffalo or Kansas City. That's just the way this goes. But the thing is also, if the Giants win that game, then that means they're capable of taking down Philadelphia, which means they could be capable of doing similar things to the Niners. If Jacksonville makes it all the way to the Super Bowl from a 9-8 record or a 9-7 record or whatever it was, 9-8 when they started, yeah, right. Stupid 17 games. they're obviously doing something right. You know, like it's hard to make it's hard to look at it and go, oh, well, that team cannot beat us or that sort of thing. So there's always going to be an area of concern in that regard. But as you say, I definitely think that this Niners team can win this game against Dallas. And I think they can beat anybody that's on the possible slate from here on out. But we take one game at a time for sure. All right. Akshaz, any final thoughts about this one before we get into the predictions?
I just think there's the one thing I will say, though, that I think people shouldn't be worried about. And I don't know if people are even worried about this, but there's a sense of pressure that comes with playing the Cowboys' final game of the divisional slate. All eyes on you. That I don't think the 49ers will be concerned with. And also just think that, you know, Levi's Stadium has become a very, very good home field for the 49ers. So there are a lot of this will be a fun game, but this is a game the 49ers should have.
Yeah, for sure. All right. So let's do all four games. We did all of them last week. So let's do all four. We'll start last week we went backwards because we wanted to do the Niners last. This time we don't have to go backwards. So we'll start Chiefs Jaguars in Kansas City. Kansas City is currently favored by 9 points heading into that game. It's at 4:30 Eastern time on Saturday afternoon. What do you think? Who wins and is it a close game or whatever?
I'm going to say Kansas City wins, even though I really want Jacksonville to win. I think there's just too much talent on the Kansas City side of things. I do think it'll be a close game, though. I don't really see any of these like teams anymore playing in absolute blowouts. I think the playoffs helps reduce some of the disparity, but Kansas City wins, but Jacksonville, I would take Jacksonville plus 9.5, I guess, or plus 9.
Yeah, whatever it is. I think I'm right there with you. If there is a game that could end up in a blowout, I think this might be the one, just because of the discrepancy in talent across the board. I think I already said this, but I think Jacksonville is probably a year ahead of schedule in terms of where they're, you know, stepping into being a contender in a true sense. I think this is a great opportunity. The fact that they came back and won that game, that crazy game against the Chargers last week was great opportunity for them, but this is probably the end of the road. I'm right there with you. I think it'd be so cool if they won, mostly because I just want the Chiefs to be out of it because I don't like them anymore. No offense to the Chiefs or the Chiefs fans, they're just scary, and so I just want them out. So I'm with you. I think it's a closer game than people think, but I think Kansas City wins. That leads us to the Giants traveling to Philadelphia for their game 8:15 Saturday evening in the Eastern time zone. This is also a touchdown plus spread. I'm looking at ESPN. They say 7.5 to Philadelphia. Akchaz, what do you think?
So I'm going to go against the grain, and I'm going to pick the Giants. Part of this is me wishing the Giants will win. So, but part of me is also kind of just identifying the fact that the Giants' win against the Vikings was off of fairly like repeatable script in a sense. And Philadelphia is extremely talented, but I think the Giants, it's kind of that old adage we were talking about last week with the 49ers and Seahawks. It's really hard to beat a team three times, and divisional games are just weird. And, you know, we only have really one good sense of how the Eagles and Giants stack up. And that was a week 14, I want to say, or week 10, perhaps.
It was December 11th. They played and the Eagles crushed them. It's 48-22.
So are the Eagles favored for a reason? For sure. But I think, you know, the Giants have been playing well. Their defense has been making big plays. Dexter Lawrence is a game changer on the defensive line. The defensive line is gelling. And, you know, all it takes is a couple mistakes. The Eagles starting off slow because of, you know, rust, perhaps. They haven't played in 2 weeks, basically. None of their important players. And with the wonkiness of a divisional game, I'm willing to say this could be the upset. Now, I could be totally wrong, and I'm going to say I would not be surprised if the Eagles won by 30, but I'm going to say this is the upset of the week.
I like it. I like the fortitude there, and I'm definitely in favor of that. Because again, if the it would add some juice to the Cowboys Niners game, right? Because then the winner knows they're hosting the NFC Championship game, which would be great for the 49ers, who have not had to leave Santa Clara since they were in Vegas. Like it'll be a month, I think, by the time the NFC Championship game comes around. So that would be fantastic. And so, you know what, I'm going to go with you. I'm going with you. I'm riding the train. I think it's going to be, the only way this works is if it ends up being a game like similar to the one that they played in the last game of the season, right? Where it is very low scoring. The winner probably doesn't get more than 20 or 24 points, maybe 23. I could see it being a sort of like last minute field goal, last minute score, the Giants take the win, something like that. They win like, I don't know, like 23-21 or something like that, and some kind of goofy goofy thing or something along those lines. I could certainly see them winning it like that. They are not going to win if it turns into a shootout or anything like that. They don't have the horses for it. So if their defense can play well enough to keep it close, then I can certainly see that coming. And so I'm going to root for it, because why not, right? Chaos. It's the playoffs. All right. The afternoon game on Sunday will be Bengals-Bills. Another pretty good matchup there. Bengals travel to Buffalo to play that game. A friend of mine was asking, why isn't it on a neutral site? And I said, it's not a neutral site till the AFC Championship game. I don't quite understand why, but that was just, it was a weird situation. 5.5 point spread for Buffalo, who had a rough time with Miami last week. That was definitely a game I was expecting to be a blowout, and it was not. And so here come the Bengals, who are playing pretty good football, although they also had a struggle game against the Ravens. Both these teams are kind of coming off, mediocre wild card performances. So something's got to give. Which direction do you think this goes?
I think this is going to be the best game. I'm going to go with the Bengals because while I think Buffalo is all things equal and completely healthy, a better team, Von Miller is not. Okay, I'm going to double check this, but I'm very confident that Von Miller is not playing.
Yeah, right he's. Now. I think he's done for the year.
So I think that's a huge game changer in a certain sense. And I just think Buffalo has this very, very weird kind of performance to them where talent-wise, in terms of top end and even depth, they're right there. They're at worst a top five team in the league. And they play like a top five team. But unlike a team like Kansas City, which is very consistently good, Buffalo has high highs and low lows, and the Bengals are well built. I think their defense is a lot better than it gets credit for. It's a huge asset for their team. And I just think, again, divisional games are weird, so it's hard to make a one-to-one comparison with last week. But if Skylar Thompson puts 31 or so points on the board against your defense, That's pretty concerning. And I don't think Josh Allen played particularly well. And I think out of all the good quarterbacks left, so apologies, 49ers fans, I will not be including Brock Purdy in that category. I would say he's the quarterback you are most likely to catch having a god-awful day. And if that happens, then the Bills are dead to rights. So I think the Bengals offensively and defensively have enough talent to stay with the Bills. And I just think I'm expecting this to be a game where the Bills kind of have one of those high variance performances and Buffalo's able to, I'm sorry, the Bengals are able to take advantage of it.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. The Bills might just be slightly better than the Bengals. I think that there's a case to be made, but I could see this going either way. But just for the sake of conversation, I'm going to go the opposite direction. Instead of a rematch of the AFC Championship game last year, we get Bills and Chiefs, which is really what the NFL wants. So there you go. All right. So which leads us to the Niners Cowboys game, as we've talked about a great deal already, but what do you think, Akchaz? Which way is this going to go?
So, like I said last week in our predictions, I'm too superstitious to pick against the 49ers, but I honestly do believe the 49ers will win this game. I think there's a lot of deserved talk about how they've played against top tier competition, but the team was very different than the one that played against Kansas City. And I have good reason to believe that with Brock Purdy playing the way he is and Christian McCaffrey fully integrated, they might not have won against Kansas City, but they certainly would have been able to keep it close because that game was really an example of the defense not being able to show up and the offense not being able to keep pace. And I don't really think that's the case anymore for the 49ers, where you can have both sides of the ball simply be overwhelmed. I think the 49ers will be able to run the ball effectively. I think they'll be able to get explosive pass plays, and I think they'll contain the Cowboys' offense enough to, despite what the final score may be, they'll be able to stay in control. Could they lose? Sure. is it probably the most likely game out of the last 12, including this, that they would lose? Yeah, but, you know, there's something about this team that's just clicking at the right moment, and I think it's hard to discount that. So I'll go 49ers 31, Cowboys 23.
Yeah, I mean, as I said, I have picked against the Niners in certain circumstances, but I try not to do it because not about superstition, just because we're this is a 49ers podcast. Why would we pick against them? But I am definitely in agreeance with you on pretty much everything that you said there. The other thing that crosses my mind is, I mentioned this already, like, is this matchup, if you look at this matchup versus the one from last year, the Cowboys are probably maybe slightly worse than they were last season because they're missing a secondary option at wide receiver. And I think maybe there's a case to be made their offensive line is a little bit weaker. Whereas the Niners are a better team than they were last year. They stand to be a lot healthier on the defensive side of the ball, and they have more weapons on the offensive side of the ball. We didn't even mention Elijah Mitchell, who had a big impact on the game against Seattle either. So there's too much, I think, for Dallas to contend with. And the likelihood that they're going to be able to snuff out literally every person on that offense seems very slim to me. And I think if you take away a couple of mistakes by a certain quarterback from last season, the last year's game is a blowout. And the Niners kind of stepped up, took their foot off the gas a little bit last year and let Dak and the offense get back into it. I don't anticipate that's going to happen again this year. So I think it might be a little closer early on than the 49ers fans might want it to be. But I think just like last week, they are going to pull it away. And so I'm going to go similar to you, but not quite. I'm not going to give Dallas quite as much fun. I'm going to go 31-17. The Niners offense with Brock Purdy has consistently scored in the 30s. There's no reason to suggest that they won't be able to do that again against Dallas, especially if Dallas is in a position where they have to, where they're not able to control the game and dictate things as far as that is concerned. So, Akshay, any final thoughts on this one before we wrap it up?
I'm going to say this now more than ever, but this is going to be a fun game. It's going to be one of those games that I think will be imprinted on this absurd season of the 49ers, win or loss, just in the magnanimity of it. There's a real chance that the 49ers basically play their playoff demons this year. They played the Seahawks, now they play the Cowboys. If they play the Giants, then they play the Chiefs. That's a whole lot of heartbreak that's been caused by four teams. So there's something in the air, and maybe just got to enjoy the ride, because 11 straight wins trying to make it 12, that's almost unprecedented. And it's not often that you can just sit back and watch a team and be pretty confident that they're going to put their best shot for all 60 minutes. So I guess we'll talk to you guys on Monday and we'll see how it went.
Hopefully we'll have good things to talk about then, but good word there at the end. Yeah, you always come through for me when I say, do you have any final things to say? And you always hit it out of the park, if you don't mind the mixed sports metaphor. Until then, we will watch the game, and hopefully it will be an exciting game, and it will be a fun game, and it will be a game that the 49ers win. But as always, thanks for listening to this episode of the Niner Noise podcast, part of the Fansided Podcast Network. Please continue to check out ninernoise.com for all your latest 49ers news and analysis. Lots of good stuff on there about the upcoming Cowboys game as you're finishing off your weekend. And be sure to rate and subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen. And, of course, share it with all your fellow 49er fan friends. So until next time, let's sound the horn, 49ers.
What if I told you that you can support your blood pressure and healthy CoQ10 levels with two chews a day? The new Super Beats Heart Chews Advanced is now supercharged with CoQ10. That's like getting CoQ10 for free. Our powerful blend of beetroot, grapeseed extract, and CoQ10 supports your cardiovascular health. Visit RadioBeats.com and find out how you can get a free 30-day supply on bundles and save 15% with the promo code DEAL.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.